Good evening. We're in beautiful downtown Dallas, in the inner sanctum of No Fact Zone, speaking with the remarkably sane, despite all the work she puts into the website, DB Ferguson. And welcome.
Hi.
Thank you. You're so well. I said she was animated.
Yeah. I don't want to kill the mystery too quick.
Oh, good. Mystery. What was the origin of No Fact Zone? What prompted you to start this rather innocuous little website that nobody visits?
Well, basically, the site started because I decided that when I first started watching Stephen Colbert and the Colbert Report, I said, I want to go to the site. Let me find it. There's got to be one. And there wasn't. And I was like, that's not right, because everybody has fan sites. Everybody. But there wasn't. There was a couple of ones that were okay. They were not bad. Colbert Nation at the time was much less active than it is now. And there was not even a board. And I decided I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring and try to make a site that I would want to visit, that I think that I would come back to see. And so I did. And I bought myself a URL. Thankfully, my husband was very tolerant of that and helped me set up the WordPress. Actually, I did the WordPress on my own. He helped me set up the URL. And I found a little template that I liked and said, okay, here you go. And fired it up and started posting. And if you build it, they will come. A year later, we've got almost 500,000 unique visitors, close to 900,000 page views. We've got a staff of six now, two international. We have Jenny from Italy and the Lake Effect from Canada, or Kanukistan, as you like to call it. And and we've also got Ms. Interpreted, and she is in Washington, D.C., Kinestasia. She is also in Washington, D.C. Words with Grace, who actually, she is the big wig over at Colbert University. She does all the content and all the editing. And I think that's it. That's the six of us. I think. Ms. Interpreted, Jenny, Kinestasia, Lake Effect.
And how did each contributor come aboard?
Honestly, they came to me. I found Jenny was working for the site before she was working for the site. She was sending me essentially zeitgeists every single day. She would send massive amounts of links. And finally I said, you know what? Why don't I just make you an account? You can put those up there on your own. And she said, well, okay, but I want you to edit them first. And a couple of months later, she finally started putting them in there herself. And once she got started, it was almost impossible to stop her. And she's been pretty amazing. Ms. Interpreted, almost the same thing. She had been posting at Television Without Pity, and she was the only person that could scoop me. Drove me crazy. And sometime in January or so, she emailed me and sent me something, and I don't even remember why. And I emailed her back, and I said, well, thank you for the tip. And by the way, would you like to work for our site? Because you're the only person that could scoop me, and I'm really getting tired of that. And I'd really like you to work on my side of the fence. And so she came on board, and she's done wonderfully. The Lake Effect came on board because he was actually doing a lot of coverage for Stephen Colbert Day. And he has a very unique voice. I like him. He's the only man on our staff. Everybody else are ladies. But he's, because of that, and he's got a really twisted sense of humor. I really, really like when he posts. And he doesn't post as much as some of the others, but I really like it when he posts. And Words with Grace, she just went with it. We had talked about an idea of a separate site for the information that was originally on the Wikipedia site that got taken away by the Wikinazis because they suck. So,
and they have no sense of humor either.
Oh no, they don't understand the whole Colbert culture, which is fine. They're not there to be a culture collector, they're there to be an encyclopedia, but that doesn't help those of us who want an encyclopedia of Colbert.
I thought Wikipedia was supposed to be the new Library of Alexandria.
Well, unfortunately, that didn't work. So we said, you know what, you're dead to me, and we're going to start our own site, which literally, Words with Grace, I loaded up a software called Joomla, and I gave Words with Grace a password, and I said, go with it. whenever you get a chance, if you can figure out the software, bully to you. And she came back 2 weeks later with about 90% of the content that you see today on that site. And I have no idea how she did it. And I didn't ask any questions. And I knew enough about programming websites that I was able to make it pretty in purple. And I was able to do the links. And I was able to figure out a few of the technical difficulties. But the content is 99.9% her. And I really appreciate all of that. Kinesthasia, she's the newbie on board. And she's actually, her original duty was to keep up with the map, the Americone Dream map. We were getting close to 15 or 20 submissions a day when it first came out, and nobody could find it. Now that it's been out 6 months, and there's the Ben and Jerry's locator, it's a little bit slower, but we were still getting probably 10, 15 emails a week. And it was one of those tasks that I just kept going, oh, well, I'll do it later. And then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, I hadn't done it. And I said, I need to find somebody that can do this. And Misinterpreted had met her before in real life and said, let's see if she'd like. She said she'd like to help. So I emailed her and said, okay, would you like to help? And she said, yeah. So she just grabbed the map duties and went with it. And she said a couple of weeks ago, I'm ready to do more. She had been traveling off and on throughout the summer. And I said, okay, great, because the lake effect is about to go to China for 6 months or for 3 months. So let's see if we can get you on the episode guides. And so we've got her on episode guide rotation. And we've got a couple of projects that she's going to be doing exclusively once the show starts up again. And I'm real excited about that. So it takes a village to keep everybody informed about my little micro niche of blogging here.
How many hours do you put in a day working on the site? And for all the single women out there, where did you find your husband who is so understanding about this?
Well, let's address, that's two different issues. Let's do the husband one first, because that one's a little bit shorter. I have no idea. I just got lucky. I married my best friend, and that helped a lot. Because he knows that I adore Steven's comedy, and I appreciate it, and I love the idea of fandom. But he knows that I have no delusions of running away to New York and or anything like that. He knows that I keep it at a respectable level, and he's proud of what I do. He reads my site, and he's a fan too, so it helps.
How much, again?
And the time.
Yeah, the time. How time consuming is the website maintenance, and you know, with everything you do, backing up and making sure everything's edited and everything is posted in a timely fashion and.
Well, it's actually, I'll go kind of through a typical day. I usually wake up, and this is not an episode guide day. On an episode guide day, I'll wake up at 5 o'clock and work on an episode guide from 5 until 6:30. But normally, on a normal day, I'll get up, I go to bed about 9, because I found that staying up until 11, I would get all wired from the show, and I'd get 6 hours of sleep, and that was very bad for my work ethic. So what I do is I go to bed at 9, I wake up at 5, and I watch the show, because that way I kind of know what's going on when I'm reading the stories throughout the day. And about 6 o'clock, I'd get on the computer and I go through the news of the day. If there's anything to post, I post it. Jenny is from Italy, and normally the early morning story, she's already posted. But I'll go through, I'll answer my emails. I'll make sure that the site is up. If there's any issues, like this morning, there was an issue and I emailed my internet service provider, or not my internet service provider, my hosting service. And I'll go through that, and I'll go through the emails, and I'll go through the stories. This takes about 45 minutes to an hour. Then I'll go to work. I'll get to work between 8:15 and 8:30. I fire up the computer. I immediately open up my Gmail, check the stories again, do emails again. I hope nobody from work hears this. And usually from about 8:30 to 11 or 11:30, I'm doing site stuff. And then from 11:30 to 12:30, I look like I'm actually working and go to... I used to, before they switched the show from 1:30 Central Standard Time to 3:30 Central Standard Time, I used to watch the show on my lunch hour, but they switched it a few months ago, and I hate it because now it's on at 3:30, and I just can't wait that long, and now I don't know what to do with my lunch hour. So basically what I do is I go into an office with an empty computer, and I start blogging again. Then in the afternoon, I actually get quite a bit of work accomplished, but I always have my Gmail open. Then I go home, and I blog again for usually... Well, sometimes I blog, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just take the night off, but that's pretty rare. Most of the time I'll be on the computer for another hour or two, posting stories, dealing with issues, catching up on gossip in the fan community, whatever happens to happen. I have a few online friends that I chat with fairly regularly that are all connected with the fandom, and we just kind of tell each other, well, this happened on the Cold Boards. Well, this happened on OSCLA, and this happened, you know, whatever happened during the day. Like, for example, last Friday, I spent a lot of time going back and forth about the fake Amy Sedaris story with a couple of different people. I also, throughout the day, am getting emails from Misinterpreted and from Jenny with different stories. If we have a question on whether it should be posted or not, we'll email back and forth. And because I won't post anything that has to do with his family, anything personal. I'm very thankful he's not in the tabloids, because I wouldn't report that. If it's on the show, I'll report it. If it's in his public life, I will report it. But every once in a while, we'll get something that's a little bit, we're not real sure, and we'll go back and forth and say yeah or no. And a lot of times, Jenny is our zeitgeist queen. She does those once or twice a week, and she almost does them exclusively now. Thank goodness, she does a wonderful job. And that's kind of one of her things. And I'm very grateful that she does the job that she does, but she'll solicit for things. She'll say, I've got one up. Do you have anything that isn't in there that I should put in there? She does that whenever she posts them.
And just for the people listening who have not visited nofactzone.net, shame on you, and don't know what the zeitgeist is, would you please explain that?
Yes, the zeitgeist is basically Stephen Colbert is in the blogosphere, in the mainstream media. He is all over the place. But a lot of times, it'll just be a gratuitous name dropping. They'll say, da-da-da-da-da, or truthiness, as Stephen Colbert would say. But it may be in a major newspaper. It may be Time or Newsweek or Entertainment Weekly. So having him show up in the zeitgeist is basically a word that means of the time. There's actually a formal definition on the site if you go to the frequently asked questions. But basically it means just in the flotsam and jetsam of the blogosphere of the day. And there's six, we have a lot of things that we call 6 degrees of Stephen Colbert, which is from the 6 degrees of separation, meaning somebody that's something fairly close to Stephen. We'll talk about Amy Sedaris, Paul Dinello, Greg Holloman, Daily Show, people that have been in movies with them, things like that, that have a connection with them but aren't really related to the show, but they could be of interest to Stephen fans. And a lot of times we'll have things about that, like when writers have shows in New York City or when there's an article about Amy in a magazine, we'll put it in there as well. And it's a good collection of what's going on, so that instead of somebody scouring Google for hours, they can go to that. I can promise you, if it's on Google, if it's on Technorati, if it's on any mainstream media, if it's anywhere in the blogosphere that can be scanned, we're going to find it and we're going to put it on the site. If it's not that big, it will go in a zeitgeist. If it's decent, it will go as its own post.
Can you give us any hints as to what's coming up in the next?
For the show?
For the zeitgeist.
For the site?
Yeah.
Zeitgeist? Oh, I don't know. We just posted one today.
What? You don't know? Oh, okay.
And I saw one up. I haven't read it. I haven't read it all yet. We put out a lot of stuff on our site. It's very prolific. Actually, because of the fact that we do post with 6 staff members, even though Words with Grace doesn't post, and even though she does Colbert University, she's responsible for at least 1 or 2 posts a day. She sends us the information just like everybody else. I do know one thing that I haven't had a chance to post yet that I will be posting this weekend. So by the time your listeners hear this, they will obviously know about this. But the editors of AskMen.com have a contest going of like the greatest man in America or something to that effect. And Stephen Colbert is about mid-pack. And I got an email from the AskMen people, and they said, would you mention this on your site? And I emailed him back and I said, okay, I'll mention it to the Colbert Nation, but I hope your servers are up to it. So, and he said, I think they are. And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Well, the Nation did not crash the Daily Kos servers. So, we'll see. Can you explain a little bit about how the Colbert University site got started, what evil genius was behind that?
Well, originally, like I mentioned before, it was a Wikipedia site, and I loved it because I didn't have to edit it, and it was a great resource, and then they deleted the entire page. And Pulp, who actually is one of the Cold Board's moderators and also runs OSCLA and the John Stewart Experience, he has, because he has a website about everything, I think. He's a very busy man. He also has a Wikia, and he put that page on the Wikia as soon as the rumor started coming about that this page was going to go away. And I asked him, is it okay if I take this information and use it for my site? And he said, okay. And I put it up on my site. And about later that day, even, I don't even think it was a whole day went by, Words with Grace emailed me and said, I'm a professional proofreader. Would you mind if I looked it over? And I said, sure, go ahead. What the heck? Less than 24 hours later, she had almost doubled the volume of the content and completely rewritten everything in a much better, much more professional tone and said, this is great. Do you want me to add some more? And I went, okay. And at this point, we had it as a separate page on Colbert University or on nofactzone.net, but we realized very quickly that it was going to be huge content-wise, and we needed a content management system as opposed to just a single web page. We originally tried to do it in WordPress, but unfortunately WordPress is not very good with content management, so we switched to Joomla, which is a content management software, and I set it up and it sat there for about a month and a half, and Words with Grace, bless her heart, was just impatient and said, I want to do this. I said, okay, and I set her up an account. That was my husband throwing something away. I said, here's you a username. If you can figure out how to put information in there, bully to you. I'm kind of busy right now. About 2 weeks later, she had about 90% of the content that is up there on the site. And I was like, wow. So I went and made it pretty. And there you go. And she does it all. She updates it. Now that it's live, she updates it on an almost daily basis and puts stuff in there. So it's going to get real big real fast. But it's so detailed in the archive, in archiving. And as a history major in college, I really appreciate somebody having that kind of detail, historical detail to what's going on in the show. Because, you know, in 6 months down the road, it may be very, very important that this one little detail happened. The first time that Formula 401 came up, it didn't happen again until 6 months later, but it was really interesting to see how the joke has progressed. And now that we have we have Words with Grace building the site on show-by-show basis, it's growing into an amazing site, and it's such a compliment to what we do on nofactzone.net. We are topical, live, news-oriented. They're archival, keeping things, records of everything that happens on the show as an encyclopedia. So between the current and the encyclopedic, it's a perfect complement to each other.
How has running the site affected how the PR machine goes, affected the site? Because I know that you've done some stuff with Oni Press regarding the Tech Jansen and the BEA and all of that. What has been the impact of the site on the PR machine for?
Well, I mean, our whole premise is to give praise and glory unto Stephen Colbert, praise and glory to his name, peace be upon him. I say that a lot. That's our whole goal. And if Stephen's name's on something, we're going to promote it. If his name's on ice cream, we're going to get with Ben and Jerry's, and we're going to promote it the best we can. Originally with Ben and Jerry's, I emailed them and I said, I have this tip. What's going on? I've got this picture of this ice cream. And this is the first story we ever really broke that went national, was the ice cream. Nobody had a clue of what was coming on, except for on the Something Awful boards in December. There's somebody on that board that happens to be a relative of somebody who works for the show and said, they're going to make some Stephen Colbert ice cream. So this Whole Foods employee emails or comments in my blog, love comments. That's also how we got the Richard Branson story. And they said, we got this ice cream. It's Stephen Colbert ice cream. It's really cool. So I said, oh, okay. So I blogged about that. And then the next day she goes, no, it's this flavor. And I thought, oh, okay. And then she goes, "Oh, I got a picture." And she had actually gotten the marketing department's photographer to take a really good high quality picture of the ice cream carton. And it was really interesting because we couldn't get anybody to verify the story for about 2 weeks. And finally it came out in the news that yes, it's real. And yes, we were right. And that felt pretty good because there was a lot of people saying, "Eh, I don't know." But after that, I realized that there's not a lot of people that will go and just trick you and say, "Hey, you know, here's this thing," and then we publish it and it's wrong. Thank goodness. I've been very fortunate. I've never been lied to. I've gotten a little bit misinformation. But as far as marketing goes, ever since that, I've realized you'd be amazed at what people would give you, what information they will give you if you just go up to them and you say, "Hey, I'd like to promote your product for free. What can I do?" Oni Press has been amazing. I've really enjoyed the project itself, but they've been very good about getting the word out to the fans. And as soon as Randy realized, from Oni Press, realized that a lot of people watched my site, he realized it was a good place to start. And we've enjoyed promoting it. And but, you know, we don't really get any, we don't make any money on the site. We don't spend a lot of money on the site. It's just something fun to do. So it's not like we're out there, you know, trying to get cash from companies to promote things.
Oh, no.
I haven't gotten a dime from any company from anything that I've promoted.
You didn't even get credit for the Branson story either.
No. Of course, that wasn't really a promotion, but that's a whole other issue.
Damn you, Media Bistro.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the original link, and it was very neat to see the Media Bistro article and see they say a fan story, and I looked at it and I'm like, that's my site log. It's right there. If you just click on that link, that's nofactzone.net right there. you should have seen that. You remember how I said that the staff emails back and forth? Yeah. You should have seen the emails that I got.
Did you like get a screenshot of the hit counter for that day?
I did not, but I did. We got over 13,000 hits that day, that Friday. That's the most hits we've ever gotten, and that's a lot of hits for a site. So our site hits for the past 2 weeks have been extremely high. Between the Brian Williams, or BryY, as HuffPo likes to call them, and the Wrist Strong and the Branson has kept our hits extremely high. Google loves us, thank goodness. So if you go to Colbert Branson, we're on the first page. You go to Wrist Strong, we're on the first page. You go to almost, if you look up Stephen Colbert, you have to dig down a few pages. If you look at Colbert fan site, I think we may be on the first page now. But Colbert and anything else, especially anything topical, we're going to be on the first page. And a lot of times, we're going to be the first link.
What are your hopes about where the site is going? Where would you like? Do you have any? Do you just let the site go lead you, or do you have a plan, a goal, or some sort of plan?
Actually, I don't have a plan. I kind of wing it day by day. The site has grown very organically. At first, I was the only person doing it, and I was the only person doing it for over 6 months. And I almost got fired from my job because I spent a lot of time on the site and I wouldn't get in any sleep. And I realized that I could get some help. But the thing is, when we get help, they would bring on projects. For example, Jenny decided, God bless that woman, she decided she was going to do episode guides for every single episode before the site started. And the site started on July 16th of 2006. So she did over 100 episode guides on her own for the site. And we've had projects like the Americone Dream Map that has been huge. I mean, that's linked on the Ben and Jerry's site. It's very a big project. Colbert University, huge project. We're starting to do even more projects with Kinesthesia on board now. We're wanting to bring in a couple of weekly features. We're wanting to bring in a post carnival where we have a best of post. Our site hits, our site, our feeds, everything has been a fairly consistent growth, and it has kind of trends. We tend to be lower on the weekends. we get really depressed on breaks because our hits go way down.
Can't imagine why.
But as soon as the show starts back up, we're fine.
What type of withdrawal symptoms do you and the staff of No Fact Zone go through?
Well, we actually have quite a few issues. What we do a lot of times is we'll come up with a series, we'll come up with a best of, or a like one time we had Even Steven, we showed a new Even Steven video every day, and so sometimes we do that. A lot of times we take the break to actually do projects. The last break we had, we worked on the Colbert University, which was nice. This break we've got another project that we are going to work on that's going to be handy as well. It's kind of nice. It has its pluses and its minuses. I miss having the hits, but it's nice to take a little bit of a mental break. We are only here to promote Steven. That is our job, and we enjoy it. And thank you for letting us do that.
Thank you. And remember, always say yes. La chi da rem la mano la 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 la.